The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. From the sun to the plant to you, go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all the products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic combining spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Find Terraflora and the full line of products at enviromedica.com. Ned CBD. Keep it simple, keep it natural with Ned CBD. And good news, animal lovers, Ned's full-spectrum hemp oil is not just for humans, it's great for humans' best friend. That's right, it's not just for you, it's for your canine or feline as well. Explore Ned's line of full-spectrum hemp products at HelloNed.com and use the code OLR at checkout for 15% off. Paleo Magazine, now all digital. Go to PaleoMagazine.com to subscribe. The Well-Being Journal, Veg World Magazine, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorne Research. Visit our dispensary at OneLifeRadio.com for 20% off and free shipping. You can find more information on all of our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the OneLifeRadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Baby, do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California. How are you doing today, Ronaldo?
I am doing great. I am loving myself.
You're loving yourself.
Yes.
That's a strong statement. And do you always love yourself, or has something changed in the last 24 hours? But that's a good thing, right?
Well, since the pandemic, no, I haven't always loved myself. I've always been kind of hard on myself, difficult on myself. You know, I'm a bit of perfectionist at times. So, yeah, I'm kind of difficult on myself at times. So I take the time just to say that I love myself and show myself some love and treat myself better.
Well, I think that's important. I really do. We actually did a show on that. I'm trying to remember with who in the last couple of weeks. But I actually kind of in some ways thought about it backwards. But really, when you love yourself, it's because you're doing things well. You're a good person, and so it's easy to love yourself. So it's not egotistical like we, you know, are programmed to think. When you think about, I love myself, that's so self-centered, you know, but it really isn't. It means that you like who you are as a person, and that's a good thing, because that means you're probably living your life well, right?
I would think so. I mean, there are a lot of times where I see people and they just look in the mirror and they're not happy with who they see, or they're not happy with the way things are going. So, you know, I've said that because I'm satisfied with the way things are. It may not always be happy with the way things are, but I know that I have the ability and the power to change it, to make it better. So that's why I say, you know, I love myself.
Well, and you're at such a special time in your life. You've got a young son who is he turned a year old yet? I can't remember. Antoine, right?
No, he'll be a year old in July.
In July.
Yeah.
And that's such a special time in any family's life. I remember when my kids were little like that. It was the best times in my life, actually. You know, it makes you feel like there's hope in the world. I think when your children or you're around other youth, nieces and nephews, I've had, you know, that experience as well. But, you know, it feels good to feel good about having a little family. I mean, I almost spilled the beans. I'm not allowed to talk about it, so never mind. I was going to make an announcement, but I can't do it yet. I haven't gotten the security clearance yet, but we've got a fantastic show coming out today. Dr. Will Tuttle, who is an amazing man. He is the author of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The World Peace Diet. I have it right here with me. He was on the show, I think, about, oh my gosh, almost 2 years ago now. But he's a former Zen monk and a Dharma master in the Zen tradition, a PhD, an incredible musical talent. He's just a prodigy on the piano, an incredible man. We're talking about the World Peace Update Diet. And Cody Myler, one of my favorite people, is on the show today, too. Tips for getting back into your workout routine after taking a break. And, you know, I've got my new mixer in front of me. I'll take a picture after the show and put it on social media, but it's got all these hotkeys on it, and I was playing with it earlier. DJ helped me set it up. Don Pridemore, he did a fantastic job. He's such a great engineer here at iHeartMedia, and so I wanted to use some of the buttons, and so we were practicing, you know, before we went live, and I'm trying to find, you guys sent me a bunch of jokes, and I'm trying to maneuver my phone and the Rodecaster or the new mixer that I have with a bunch of other stuff, but it's so fun, I have to tell you. So here's my joke for today. Since we're talking with Dr. Will Tuttle, the World Peace Diet, and he is the recipient of both the Courage of Conscience Award and the Empty Cages Prize, and so here's my joke. It's about the Nobel Peace Prize. Did you guys ever hear about the farmer who won the Nobel Peace Prize?
No, what happened?
He was outstanding in his field.
Okay,
here's my thing. I'm so silly. Now that's making me laugh to hear them laugh, and I wonder if anybody out there is laughing. Does that make you laugh, Ronaldo?
It did.
My silliness?
Yes.
I think I might not need you anymore. I might just start doing the show from my board here in my home by myself. But I'm joking, of course. I've got a lot to learn, but the technology is off the charts, and I'm really enjoying it. There's all kinds of buttons on here, like crickets. You guys want to hear some crickets? Here we go. Okay, I'm going to stop. Anything else you want to talk about before we go to break and start this show, Ronaldo?
No. I think I said everything that I wanted to say.
All right, well, let's get going. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Will Tuttle and Cody Myler. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and Cody Myler is with us. He is also known as the Keto Cowboy. He is a health and fitness expert, trainer, instructor, and business owner. He holds a bachelor's in exercise psychology, a master's in sports management, and over 20 different fitness certifications. Cody began following a keto lifestyle in 2014. He spent the next 2 years learning everything possible about ketosis and a ketogenic lifestyle. In 2016, Cody Cody founded a keto coaching program helping individuals understand and incorporate keto into their daily lives. And then in 2019, Cody founded the National Athletic Keto Association, or NACA, as it's known, N-A-K-A, hosting the first keto carnivore bodybuilding competition right here in Dallas, Texas. His website is MylerFlex.com. That's MylerFlex.com, or on Instagram at Myler_Flex, or on Facebook at NXTREP Fitness. Always a pleasure. Cody, how are you doing today?
How you doing?
I'm good. We're in the saddle now. We're ready to roll, right?
Exactly. I'm in my car, so hopefully you can hear me okay. We need to get into the studio again. This is crazy.
I know. It's not going to be for a few more weeks, and I just got my new mixer this morning with hotkeys and stuff, and I've been having a lot of fun playing with it. But, you know, it's new, and I have to say, you know, I was telling DJ when he was helping me set up this equipment this morning that I've actually gotten better, I think, and more confident from being alone in my studio. Even though I've done radio for many, many years, you know, you kind of become dependent on the people that are in studio with you. And I feel like it's, I don't know, a more intimate experience too with my listeners. So out of something bad comes something good, and we all get a little tougher, a little stronger, and a little smarter, right? A little more awareness of everything going on in our world.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a big, big believer in adversity. I think it's a great tool to use and embrace. So for sure, you can learn from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all need to grow, and growth is uncomfortable. We all know that, whether it's a muscle or your brain or whatever, whatever it is. But, you know, a lot of people are out there listening that haven't been back in a workout routine for a long time, you know, for months. And then there's people out there. I was actually talking about this with Tina Burnett earlier in the week about people that have never exercised before and what that might be like for them. Because I think the one thing that has come out of all of this sadness of the COVID-19 experience is that people realize that they have to take control of their own health. And that includes mostly what they eat, their nutrition, and getting out there and exercising to keep their immune system strong, maybe for the first time in their life. And so let's talk about that. If there's somebody out there listening, Cody, that's never exercised before in their life, let's say, where should they start?
Well, first of all, I totally agree with what you just said. If this whole pandemic wasn't a wake-up call to get your health in order, I don't know what is. But for somebody that's never worked out ever in their life, I mean, I would, just to be brutally honest, I would definitely go to your local gym. And even if you just get an intro package with a trainer to just learn what to do, what are the functional movements, how to use the equipment. So that way you're not nervous in the gym. You know what you're doing. And also you won't get injured. You know, that's the other thing. I mean, you can do something totally out of whack and injure yourself, and then you're out for months. So I would say if you've never worked out ever, go hire a fitness professional, even if it's just for like 5 sessions, just to kind of get started and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. I'm remembering a listener from way back. I'm going back like 5-6 years, and her name was Renee. And I remember receiving an email from her, and something as simple as the encouragement that we gave her on one of the shows that we did. And I don't remember even with who it was with, but I might have been Tina Burnett, since she's been on the show since the beginning. And it was about encouraging people that maybe had never exercised before that were, you know, like morbidly obese to just begin by walking every single day. And of course, right now you see a lot of that with COVID-19. That's been one of the most beautiful experiences out of all of this, is driving down the street and seeing all kinds of families and people and kids and just, you know, individuals out there exercising every day. But I remember her words in the email being so poignant and just grateful, if you will, for just pointing out that everybody can start, even if it's the most simplest thing, by just walking, you know, a quarter mile a day, just to get started doing something, because sometimes that's all it takes, right? To start that engine rolling.
Absolutely. Do you remember the guy out of California? This has probably been about 3 or 4 years ago. You can Google. Instead of being a pet walker, he's a human walker. and people paid him to just walk certain amount of miles every day. And it was more of an accountability thing because they were just like, hey, I just want somebody that will remind me, hey, I got a schedule and I'm going to go walk. And he quit his job and did that. He's still doing that full time.
Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah.
What a great story. Yeah. And that, and you know, I think of people in my life that I've known over the years, and it is just a great place to start, to just start walking, you know, and then you walk and you walk a little faster. I'm not one to, I don't like running. I never really have. I did it. And I don't think I ever have seen anybody run while they're and smile while they run. So that was always a good indication to me that, right? You ever see anybody smiling when they run? That you don't.
No.
I don't. For me, it was painful. I couldn't do it anymore anyway. My right knee's too shot. But I do think that walking is a great place to start if you've never exercised before. But, you know, people are excited to get back to the gym after quarantine. They are. And so is it safe to pick up where they left off before quarantine, even if someone hasn't really worked out for a while at home?
I would say no. If you haven't done anything for like the last 60 days, no, you don't want to go right back to where you were. You don't want to do the same rep range. You don't want to do the same weight and all that. I would scale back just a little bit. You know, one of the biggest things that I tell everybody is listen to your body first. Your body is amazingly brilliant. Now, what happens is sometimes you listen to your mind, and your mind will either sometimes have you give up too early or push yourself too far. But your body will tell you what your limit is. So listen to your body, and I would scale down just a little bit from what you were doing 60 days prior, and then just work your way up and listen to what your body is telling you.
Mm-hmm. Well, what if somebody took a complete break from working out during quarantine? What should they do to get back into the routine they had before?
I would start off maybe just putting a schedule of about 2 to 3 times a week, just a 30-minute workout plan, just to kind of get everything going again, get into the groove, get into schedule, start incorporating it slowly back into your lifestyle. And always remember, don't just sit on cardio. You need both. You need both resistance training and you need cardio. So, you know, just set a little bit of time every week out, and then as the weeks go, add a little bit more till it fits your lifestyle. And I'm big about balance. So once you find that balance to where you're seeing the benefits, you're feeling the benefits, and you're getting good workouts, that's where you need to be.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about muscle memory. You know, a lot of people don't know what it is, but it's a very real thing. So can you explain the concept to our listeners?
Yeah, so muscle memory is true. It is a real thing. It's within the nuclei of the muscle. Now, certain people have more of a muscle memory than others, especially people that were really athletic when they were young and lifted, because when you're younger, you can build more of that nuclei within the muscle and the Golgi tendon and all that good stuff. So what it is, once you've been out for a little while, you haven't worked out for, like, say, longer than maybe even 6 months, and you come back to working out, you'll notice that your body can change pretty rapidly up to a certain point because your body already has that nuclei that you built from years prior. Now, if you don't work out for about 2 weeks, you can lose around 15 to 20% of your muscle, but the nuclei are still there. It's just the strength has gone down. But you can recover a lot faster. And then once your body is kind of caught up to its place, then that's when the nutrition and the protein synthesis and everything comes into play once you've gotten past kind of those beginner gains, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do this thing where after I work out, I drink amino acids too. It's a Thorne product, and I don't have it in front of me. I shouldn't have brought it up without knowing the name of it. But I'll during the break put it out there. We'll put it out on social media. But I put it in my water, so it encourages me to drink more water too. It's kind of like a citrusy flavor. They have a citrus one, and they have another one. But you can get it on our website at oneliferadio.com on our dispensary for 20% off if you use the code for OLR, and it's a like I said, I'll find out the name of it, but you put it in your water and it's really good. And it's a complete amino acid profile that helps with what you said, like building that muscle back up with the, what did you say? Protein synthesis. What did you call it? Protein what?
Yeah. The protein synthesis. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So it'll help with the amino acids. You're putting in the essential amino acids in, and that's what helps with recovery, with muscle recovery.
Yeah, and especially for me, because, you know, I don't eat any meat. I'm like 95% vegan. And so I do get good protein, but, you know, a lot of people think animal protein, built muscle building, that you can't do it without it. We know that that's not necessarily true. There are a lot of very fit and muscular, amazing athletes that are vegan. I'm trying to think of that one that was a Olympian. What is his name? He was a runner. Carl Lewis was a vegan years ago. That wasn't, yeah. And so, you know, you don't have to eat meat in order to build muscle, but you do need amino acids. And so, muscle memory, this is where people say, they use that expression like, it can come back. I can't think of it right now, but like you can come back quickly, like the muscle memory. It just, when you work out regularly, you really can, you can snap back into shape pretty quick with the muscle memory.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, like I said, for those people that as when they were younger, if they were really into sports and lifted, you know, you have that nuclei that's been built up when you were younger. And now if you're somebody that wasn't very active and wasn't into sports as a young person and you're starting, you know, a little bit older, it's going to be a little bit harder. But you can totally get there. It's just the consistency. You have to stay consistent. Because like I said, after about 14 days, you can lose about 15 to 20% of your muscle strength. So you got to stay consistent with it.
Yeah. And I know I went through a little period, about 3 months, and I got injured too. That didn't help because injury always, you know, impedes you a little bit. And getting back into the gym or just getting into a regular exercise routine, especially if it's associated with a lot of pain. But is there some sort of formula to know about how much to scale back on a workout if it's been a while since the last one? For example, if someone hasn't worked out in 1 month, and then what about 60 days? Is there any sort of formula?
I would probably cut back. If it's been 1 month, I would probably cut your weight down maybe 25%. You know, start there again. Listen to your body, see what it says. So, you know, like say if you were doing a 100-pound bench press, go to 75-pound bench press. You know, just kind of scale it down a little bit. And then I would personally probably up your rep range just a little bit more, lower your weight, up your rep range, let everything kind of get woken up a little bit. And then if you've been out for 60 days, I'd probably drop it down to probably more 35%, 40%. Mm-hmm. Same thing, up the rep range. And within a week or two, you'll be surprised. You'll probably be able to bounce right back up to where you were before. But be smart. You know, don't go in and snapping tendons and everything, thinking you're right back to where you were 60 days prior.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, today, so my workout was, so I train with weights twice a week. And then on the days that I don't, I take one day off a week typically. And then like this morning, I was on my spin bike for 20 minutes up out of the saddle, pretty much right out of the gate the whole time till I broke a sweat. And then I did some push-ups, three sets of push-ups, 25 apiece. And then some these arm exercises, I don't know what you call them, that to help with my triceps. But I always do three sets. And so is that kind of like the minimum amount of sets that you should do when you're working like a particular muscle group? Because I think a lot of people thought any exercise is better than no exercise at all. But if you're going to work a particular muscle group, you should do at least three sets, right?
I would say for the general public, yeah, that's true, because you aren't going to go to an extreme volume of weight. You're not lifting crazy heavy amounts. Now, some of these guys that are more of the power lifters and everything, they might just do two sets of only, you know, four or five reps, but the volume that they're lifting is extreme. But for the average person, I would say the set range is about three sets, rep range anywhere between 12 to 15. And then once you get past that point, it's really about, where do you want to go? If you want to gain a little bit more strength, maybe lower your rep volume and up your weight. If you want to stay more just in the fit and maintenance, then just up your rep volume just a little bit more. So, you know, but a general good range is that three sets of 12 to 15, and just try to find a weight that gets you to muscle fatigue and muscle failure. So, you know, your last one or two reps of each set should be pretty difficult.
Yeah. And whatever you do, it should be fun, too. You know, you need to mix it up. You know, I love to catch and throw the football, and I'm pretty good at it, by the way. I can throw a heck of a spiral for a girl. My daughter's going to be mad when she hears me say that. She's like, you shouldn't say that. But yeah, I think making it fun, too, or getting out and playing pig, with the basketball. And just getting out there and moving your body is better than doing nothing, whether you're starting, like we talked about at the beginning of the segment, starting out for the first time, or you're a pro athlete, kind of like Tina. She's a walking muscle. You need to have fun doing it. That way it keeps you engaged, and it doesn't have to be something that's so laborious and dreaded like a strict regime, that's something that you don't look forward to, because you don't want it to be like that. You want exercise and movement to be fun, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, that's the only way you're going to stick to it. You don't want to hate it. So find something that works for you. I just really, really, really want everybody to find something that gives you some body resistance and gets you some cardiovascular at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mix it up and have some fun with it. I always have fun on the air with you, Cody. Anything else before we go to break?
No, the gyms are starting to get a little bit more busier. You know, this is the second week for my gym here in Dallas, and we're seeing the numbers go up a little bit. People are being smart, wearing their gloves and doing all the restrictions that Texas holds. So, again, everybody just do the smart thing, be cautious, and just keep grinding away at it.
All right, Cody Myler, can't wait to have you on again here coming up probably next week. It's great having you on the show with us, and a shout out to Sean Wells, who introduced us. You take care. Tell Chris I said hello, and we'll talk to you soon, Cody.
All right, take care.
All right, everyone, you can find Cody Myler on his website. That's MylerFlex.com, and get back in the gym or throw the football or do whatever it is, but get some exercise today. We'll be right back. We've got a great show continuing on with Dr. Will Tuttle. He is the author of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The World Peace Diet. Stay tuned, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis and our very special guest today. It's Dr. Will Tuttle. He is the author of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The World Peace Diet, as well as his most recent book, Your Inner Islands, The Keys to Intuitive Living. He is the editor of Circles of Compassion, Essays Connecting Issues of Justice, and the newly released Buddhism and Veganism, Essays Connecting Spiritual Awakening and Animal Liberation. Dr. Tuttle is the recipient of both the Courage of Conscience Award and the Empty Cages Prize. He is a former Zen monk and Dharma master in the Zen tradition. His PhD degree is from the University of California, Berkeley, where he focused on educating intuition and altruism in adults. He has taught college courses in creativity, humanities, religion, and philosophy, and he is also a composer and concert pianist. His websites are worldpeacediet.com, that's worldpeacediet.com, or circleofcompassion.org, and willtuttle.com. Such an honor to have you back with us, Dr. Tuttle. Welcome to One Life Radio.
Oh, thank you. So good to be with you, Bernadette. Thanks, everyone, for listening in, too.
Yeah, I love your book. I'm holding it with me. All your books and CDs that I bought when I saw you last at the Unitarian Church here in Dallas, Texas. So, let's talk about your book. What is the main message of your book and your life work?
Oh, thanks. Well, it's a positive message. I have to say that. The basic message is that all of us, actually, as human beings, have been given a wonderful gift, the gift of a body that does not require any animals to suffer to get all the nutrients that we need to be healthy, and that if we question the official narrative in our society that is telling us that we need to imprison animals and kill them to get protein and calcium and so forth, if we question that, we can actually be much healthier physically, and everything is connected. So not only will we be healthier, but our society will be healthier because there'll be a lot more resources available to feed hungry people. Our ecosystems will be healthier because animal agriculture is very inefficient in using land and water and petroleum and causes a lot of pollution. So these things are all interconnected, and they also connect in the psychological and spiritual aspects as well. So that's the main message. The main message is the positive message that each one of us can just do our own inner work and outer work. Kind of make an effort to understand what's the healthiest foods to be eating for us and for our world, and move our own way of eating and living in a positive direction. We help make a better world for everyone. So that's the essence of the message.
Well, yeah, and I'm reading something beautiful from your book, and it's about, it says this, that eating is an act of connecting. Even if we eat alone, we are not alone. That the food that we are eating connects us with the rhythms, the forces, and the abundance of nature and our universe, and with the presence of those who nurtured and gathered the foods that we are eating. Fields, forests, oceans, rivers, wildlife, farmers and grocers are all with us and become part of us, and as we chew and digest the food. I think that's such a beautiful message, not only for ourselves, but something that we really need to teach our children.
Yes, I think so. We live in a society in many ways that disconnects us from where our food actually comes from. A lot of kids think, it just comes from the store, magically appears. Mm-hmm. I remember even back in the day, when I was young, there were these ads on TV that burgers come from a burger patch, they just sort of grow on trees. And yeah. So I think we have to realize, there's a place where food comes from. And the good news, again, is that if we're eating plant-based foods, especially if we can get them local and organic as much as possible, we're supporting local farmers. We can grow foods ourselves, which I think is a really good idea. But as soon as we start eating animal-based foods, people have to kill the animals. There's a lot of suffering involved, a lot of waste. So that kind of connection, or just understanding that, making those connections, connecting with the animals, with the ecosystems, with people, with hungry people, with workers, all these things, I think, really help us to understand our situation more clearly and why we have the problems that we're having and how we can actually solve those problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What motivated you to write the World Peace Diet?
What motivated me really to write it was this sense that we all have a list of problems, right? Everyone kind of agrees, for the most part, that we have this list of problems. We have war, inequality, hunger, social justice issues, environmental pollution, disease, all these different problems. And we have all our scientists, our governments, in businesses, everybody's working to try to help solve these problems. Churches very often are helping, and nonprofit organizations. Everybody has doing their best to solve these problems. On that list somewhere, usually near the bottom, is human abuse and cruelty to animals. And so basically people think, yeah, that is a problem, but it's not that important because we're humans. We're much more important than animals are. So let's just go ahead and solve our human problems, and then when we get all those figured out, then we'll try to treat animals better, right? And mm-hmm. I wrote the World Peace Diet in many ways to take our routine mistreatment of animals for food and for other products and move it from the bottom of the list right up to the top of the list, because what I realized in my research over 30 years, actually, of research into this, that it's our routine mistreatment of animals for food and other products that actually is causing virtually all the other problems. But we don't see how eating, for example, meat, dairy products, and eggs is contributing to disease, and how animal agriculture is contributing to hunger and conflict in the world, because food shortages are well understood to create war and conflict, and how the workers who have to stab animals all day have the highest rates of injuries, as well as other injuries.
Mental illness internally. They have the highest,
like suicide, yes, and drug addiction and that kind of stuff. Right. So to see that this violence really of animal agriculture is invisible because we'd rather not look at it, but it's actually a spinning fury, the very core of our culture that's invisible, but it just keeps generating all these other problems. So if we keep trying to solve the other problems without getting to the root of the problem, we're never going to be successful. We find we mm-hmm. get more disease, more conflict, more social injustice. But if we start treating those beings who really are vulnerable, who are innocent, I mean, most of us had experiences with a dog or a cat, a companion mm-hmm. animal. We know that they're not capable of evil, really. I mean, they're not going to plot to try to steal our money or do something. You know, they just are themselves. They just live their lives. They do the best they can, essentially. And so we would be very upset if someone came along and started to abuse our little companion. There's something very mm-hmm. we know in our bones. We shouldn't do that. We should let them be. We should do our best not to harm them. But we have a situation that we're all born into. So I don't blame anyone. I'm not criticizing anyone. It's just a basic fact to understand is that we're all born into a society, and this has been going on for 10,000 years. So it's rooted deeply of owning animals, certain animals as property for food. And those animals, like cows and pigs and chickens and turkeys, ducks, geese, lambs, sheep, goats, you know, those animals, it's fine to abuse them. We kind of do it. We pretend we don't see it, and we go into the store and mm-hmm. we take out our wallets and we pay for people to abuse these animals, and then we eat the flesh and secretions of these abused animals. So that's kind of the situation that I'm trying to shine light on. That's what motivated me to write the book and to show the many benefits that come when we make those connections and then just basically naturally move away from that behavior. No, none of us wants to contribute to violence. When we move away from that behavior and move toward more plant-based foods that are more organic, I think is helpful too, then we mm-hmm. find ourselves getting healthier. You know, I've been doing this now for 40 years, and I have to say, I'm really healthy, and it's wonderful. Yeah. That's a side benefit. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I had this thought the other day, and I felt like it was pretty, I've felt this before, but I never really put it into this perspective. And this is what I'd like to say to everyone out there listening, you know, and everyone, when they see the wet markets in China or in New York, or I guess I didn't realize even until a couple of weeks ago that wet markets even existed in America. Okay. And so, but we're so outraged, you know, in China, like, oh my God, how could they do that? How could they do that? Here's what people need to understand, right? Because you know the connection where I'm going with this, right? That is going on here. It's just behind closed doors. It's the same thing that's going on all over the world. We just don't see it. We don't see it in the factory farms, but it is the same thing that's going on in China and all over the world. These wet markets, there's no difference, mm-hmm. right?
Well, that's a very good point. You know, you're right. People get outraged. They see these wet markets. And actually, from a actual scientific point of view, the wet markets are actually much less dangerous and in many ways less brutal than a typical American factory farm and slaughterhouse, you know, where the animals mm-hmm. are hyper-confined their entire lives. They can't even turn around. They're living in their own filth. They're finally dragged off.
Terrible.
Terrible thing. So really, we just have it all sort of sanitized and hidden away, but it's really not sanitized. Mm-hmm. There's a tremendous amount of environmental pollution that comes from these huge, gigantic pig farms. And one big pig farm will create more sewage than entire New York City, and it's completely mm-hmm. unregulated. They can pretty much do what they want. They create these huge lagoons that go into the rivers. I mean, these are things that are happening right now.
Well, yeah. We have a dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico that I think is the size of New Jersey or something like that, that was caused by Tyson and a runoff going down the Mississippi River and emptying into the, as I said, the Gulf of Mexico. I could go on and on. I love talking about this because I think that people really do need to open their minds and their hearts to the suffering that goes on behind closed doors for all these animals. And we can stop it. We can prevent it. You can maybe still have your burger if you want it under humane conditions. I think of, you know, the kosher process that the Jews have embraced for many centuries. And there are good and bad ways to do things. And we need to learn how to just, I don't know, reorganize, reevaluate to stop.
Right.
This.
And that's a good point. I just want to say that there's actually now, I think most people are aware of this, a lot of the newer plant-based burgers and sort of alternatives, you can't tell the difference. I mean, people who are trained like food critics from the New York Times or whatever, you know, you give them a plant-based chicken sandwich or a sort of real quote-unquote chicken sandwich and ask them to tell the difference, and they can't. Or the same thing with burgers, same thing with many of these things. So and cheese also has really gotten much better. So actually, as we make more progress, when I first became a vegan 40 years ago, I mean, the milk, you know, you had to you had this powder, you had to stir it up. It was disgusting. You know, it's like, well, we just did the best we could. But now, I mean, plant-based milks are just skyrocketing because they're healthier.
It's incredible.
They're just tastier. It's just much better. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to two of my favorite companies that are out there doing it well, and that is Natamu ice cream, the vegan ice cream that is amazing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hooked on it. I eat it almost every night. I'm almost ashamed to say I'm totally addicted to it. And Miyoko's butter and cheese, especially their European style butter. But we have to go to break because I don't want to run out of time to ask you a few more questions when we come back. So we're going to go to our quick break, station identification. We'll be right back with more with Dr. Will Tuttle. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Let's go! Steve walks slowly down the street with the brim pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust.
Welcome back, everyone, to One Life Radio. That's one of my favorites. Of course, I love the Rolling Stones. I always have since I was a kid. But I've got Dr. Will Tuttle on the line with us. He is the author of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The World Peace Diet, as well as his most recent book, Your Inner Island, or Islands, excuse me, The Keys to Intuitive Living. He is the editor of Circles of Compassion, Essays Connecting Issues of Justice and the newly released Buddhism and Veganism, Essays Connecting Spiritual Awakening and Animal Liberation. So we've only got about 2 minutes, unfortunately, Dr. Tuttle, but you're going to have to come back again soon, perhaps next week, because I would love to have you as a regular. I feel so passionate, as you can tell, about this subject. I get very jacked up when I'm speaking about it. But can you tell us about your latest work, Buddhism and Veganism, Essays Connecting Spiritual Awakening and Animal Liberation?
Sure. Yeah, just briefly, it's a book that focuses on some of the philosophical contributions of Asia to the world and Buddhism specifically, which I think is a very healthy and helpful set of ideas and practices that we can all use. Buddhism is essentially based on meditation, the idea that if we take some time every day to just quiet our mind, we can connect with our own inner wisdom. That inside each one of us, there is an inner wisdom that we can connect with to guide us in our lives. And one of the main ideas coming out of that is that we're not separate from each other, that when we see another person, or even another animal, another being, we're seeing someone, not something, and to treat others with kindness and respect. And that as we do that, we'll find more joy and freedom and liberation in our own lives. So that's the basic idea. And then I go more in depth in the book about how this actually plays out in our life through the Eightfold Path and the Four Noble Truths and many other practices of meditation. So it goes in a lot more depth. But the basic idea is pretty simple. And it's the same idea, really, in Christianity and all these teachings, to be kind and loving to each other and to pray or meditate to connect with the divine or with the eternal dimension of awareness, which is the ground of everything. That if we disconnect from that, our lives quickly become pretty shallow and unhappy, and we begin to harm others. And we end up, in many ways, I think, unfortunately, not really living our purpose and not living authentically. And then when that happens, very often we find ourselves getting addicted to drugs or other things or alcohol because we're not happy at a deep level. So all these things are interconnected mm-hmm. to bring us more health and joy and freedom into our own lives as individuals and to help do that to the whole world as well.
Yeah, I can't wait to get you back on the show. I have so many questions I want to ask you, and we truly
have about 45. Yeah, there's so much to talk about. It's true.
There is so much to talk about, and I remember, what is it? Let's start. Let me just ask you this, because this is a quick one. What is the name of the film that we watched at the Unitarian Church that night that I was crying through like half of it? It was just so beautiful. Do you remember?
I think it's Prayer for Compassion. And,
that's it.
It's a movie. Yeah, it's about the spiritual connection between firmly all the world's religions, and Buddhism and Christianity and Judaism and Islam and many different religions, and how if we treat animals with respect and kindness, we create a foundation for joy and health in our own lives.
I love it. So great having you back on the air. I hope to talk with you within a week.
Thank you, Bernadette.
Plan, so I hope we can make it happen.
Sounds good. All right.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
What an honor. Thank you so much. Dr. Will Tuttle, everyone. You can find him at worldpeacediet.com. Thank you so much for listening. I've enjoyed doing the show today. I've got my new equipment, my mixer, and I'm all good here. And I hope you are there out listening in this wild world that we live in right now. Get out there and have a great day. You know, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there and be positively contagious.